Hi, this is Harold. Welcome to Transformation's weekly message and podcast. I'm glad you are making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end of today's message, but for now, let's see what God wants to teach us. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of God's word and message. Hello, friends. Happy New Year. Pastor Harold here. Glad you're with us as we turn into 2025. We're getting ready to start a new sermon series called Soul Restoration, Body, Mind, and Spirit. And the sermon series is a year long, 2025. We will break it up in sections of body first, then the mind, and we will end with the spirit. And so we'll go from now until May 4th under the body. And then starting May 11th, we'll kick into the mind, and we'll spend the entire summer into the mind, and we'll complete as we go into Advent and Christmas of next year. From the fall in, we'll get into the spirit. So it should be a great time and a great series to really unpack, you know, the full fundamental aspects of following a Jesus-looking God and living a Jesus-centered life, to live a spiritually principled life. We really got to pay attention to the body, the chasm, the chassis, the mind, where most of our problems center, and then our spirit, which needs to be indwelling and connected to God in a mighty way. So we're going to really get into that. And today's message, again, is called Sacred Temples, Honoring God with Our Bodies. Sacred Temples, Honoring God with Our Bodies. And we start with this because going into January, it's really common for people to say, man, I got to lose some weight, got to get in shape, got to start exercising. Got to. I have no choice. I got to get my health under control. I got to get going. And this is repeated by millions of people every year, myself included. I've done it so many times. And it's basically, you know, New Year resolutions are basically in one year and out the other, right? Because we struggle to keep that thunder going because it's so self-induced. I mean, we're just self-reliance, and we get burnt out. And the fads and the quick diets and the schemes and the shots and all the stuff that we can do to try to lose weight, we just get burnt out on it and we give up, and then we go back heavier into consumption and laziness and poor habits than ever before. And I've done it, you've done it, most people have done it, but we need to throw away all the secular approaches and really start to look at spiritual approaches, using science and reason and all those things to help us, but basically learning from what scripture has to teach us and then applying it one day at a time and doing that in community. So that's really what we're going to do. Our scripture today is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. So here's our scripture reading for today. And I quote, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body," end quote. Now, we all heard of a three-legged stool. Here's a four-legged one. But you know, even with this one, but we're talking about a four-legged stool. If you have a three-legged stool, what happens if one of the legs is missing? It just collapses, right? It just wobbles and eventually falls down. And our lives are like that stool, especially when it comes to our body, our mind, and our spirit. If one of those things is out of whack, everything becomes unbalanced and we're not in rhythm. And we feel out of sync, and every other part of us suffers. If one part suffers, we all suffer. So the world bombards us with all distorted views of our body, which lead to tremendous shame, especially body shame. Neglect or idolization is what happens ultimately. But God offers us a different perspective. Our bodies are sacred, and they're created with love, and our purpose is to honor Him with our bodies. But the delusion of inequality that's just driven in our culture, especially in the Wild Wild West, the American West, the Western culture, period, that who you are is not enough. And this starts at a very young age. I saw my granddaughter, who's 7 now, this just back in the last summer. But I was watching her one day, just watching her out of the corner of my eye, and watching her, and she's got an imaginary phone, and she's sitting there taking selfies of herself, different poses, trying to look good, you know, because that's driven by the need for acceptance, the need for affirmation. Not only do we need it, but we demand it. Even from a little bitty child, we start to see this behavior in our lives. So it's huge. So God values our body as his temple. The late, great Jim Rohn would say, we got to learn to treat our bodies like a temple, not a woodshed, end quote. And so God invites us to care for it, and not as an object of perfection by no means, but as a vessel for worship and purpose, to live a life, if you would, of love and service. And a wise old mentor of mine, Lewis, told me one time, Harold, it's hard to do good when you don't feel good. And friends, as you get older and you neglect your body, you run out of juice. You know, your batteries get low. You're like a cordless drill. You that delusion is you're running on self-propulsion and you sound good. But as you age, as things happen, you start to wear a little bit. And then one day you click it and there's nothing. And we don't want to get to that space. So our first point that I really want to lean in on today is that God's view of the body. And you'll see it here on the slide. God designed our body with care and purpose. And I want to go back to Genesis, and Genesis 1, verse 27. And it says, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them, end quote. So you see here a picture of an infant. And when we see a baby, if you're a parent or a grandparent or an uncle or an aunt, or an adult, you've been around new babies, and everybody's in awe. Everybody's just the magnificence of this new child. It's one of the greatest miracles, one of the greatest gifts you'll ever witness with your eyes as a newborn child. You look at your little toes, their little feet, their little umbilical cord where it's been cut, most likely. And some open their eyes just barely, and they got hair. Some of them got more hair than others, but it's an amazing sight. We're in awe because it's God's creation. We didn't create it. The miracle of God created it. And then the gift of the breath of life is blown into its nostrils. And this baby is alive. And it's an incredible, incredible thing to witness, definitely. When our oldest daughter was born and they handed it her to me, I didn't know I could fall in love with a little bald-headed woman with no teeth. But I did immediately. You know, and I do with all children. I just adore children and I love children. The late great theologian John Calvin said, and I quote, we are not our own, we are God's. Let us therefore live for him and die for him, end quote. And this truth applies to how we view and use our bodies. And most of us, if we would take a personal inventory about our bodies, you know, would find that especially if we're looking at our part, how we neglect it, how we don't take it seriously, how we use it as a means to an end for our own emotional and mental well-being. Because if we eat out of control, we're eating emotionally. We're eating as a vice to release dopamine, if you would, into our system so we can feel good at the moment. It's a distraction from what's going on, right? It's what happens is if you binge eat, you're a closet eater, you eat after late at night, you just go in there and you get not one cup of cookies, but a whole sleeve of them. Or whatever, popcorn, chips, whatever you're just hammering at that particular time. It's just for that moment, you just need a break. You need a release, if you would. It's just a release. Same thing happens with pornography. It's a release of the tension, the stress, and everything else we got going on in our lives. We just need it. We crave it. We desire it. And for a temporal moment, as we're engaged in that behavior, we get this sense of relief. But then immediately it wears off. And then we're right back to, man, the body shame comes back, the remorse, the guilt, and we swear off again, only to repeat it sometimes within hours of what we just took place. So we got to be aware of that. The next thing I want to point out is our culture distorts God's perspective of the body. Culture definitely does this. The world often ties worth, our self-worth, to our appearance, leading to shame, eating disorders, and all kinds of self-harm. And if you're honest, you've all got some version of this. I call it the delusion of inequality. And it's just there. Charles Taylor, great Canadian philosopher, talks all about it in some of his great writings about this dilemma. And he calls it a lot of different things, big, deep scientific long words, but I'll just summarize it down to the delusion of inequality, the delusion that who I am, how I look, is not enough. And if I compare myself to others, whether I think I'm better than or I'm less than, I lose every time. You lose every time. And we have that tendency that to shift really in just a matter of seconds. In the course of a day, we can go from a zero to a hero and back and forth, just like a teeter-totter. You get lost in that. So it's a real thing. Here's a statistic for you. And I'm quoting from, according to the National Eating Disorder Association, and I quote, over 28 million Americans will experience an eating disorder in their lifetime, end quote. And that seems like a small bucket, but it's probably way more than that if we're honest with ourselves, that this becomes a real challenge. There's a woman named Rebecca Turner, and Rebecca is a pretty amazing woman, but she writes a lot about nutrition and her Christian worldview. She uses print and TV and radio to translate a complex world, if you would, of nutrition into an understandable, achievable concept. So she does a lot of good work. So you might want to check out some of her books. You can find some of her stuff at her website, RebeccaTurnerNutrition.com. You can see that here at the bottom of the page. But she confines her expertise with food with her Christian faith, her spiritual principle life, to help live life healthily based on God's word. And even if you don't consider yourself a Christian, the spiritual principles behind it are still worth your time. Not the world standards, but spiritual principles. So you can get her books on Amazon, but you can also get them at the website you see here below. But this is a quote from her. This is a small interview with her. And she was asked, what led you into the field of nutrition? And she said, I always respond that I found it incredibly empowering that to some extent you can control your health by your food and beverage choices. But starting around my junior year in college, my curiosity to learn all about how food affects the body slowly morphed into an obsession to control every calorie to achieve outward perfection. I no longer chose foods based on good health, but rather on the leverage of gain of external validation. Again, going back to that delusion of inequality, need to be validated. We don't just need affirmed, we demand it on top of it. While I looked healthy on the outside, I was held captive in body image bondage, and it took Jesus to set me free. Amen. When I got engaged to my now husband of almost 14 years, I realized my pursuit of the perfect diet had morphed into disordered eating. I sobbed when I realized I need to eat cake in front of my guest. It seems absurd, but to those who gain self-worth based on self-discipline with food, letting go of control can be crippling, because we're, most of us are all control freaks in one form or another. There were other red flags, but that was the icing on the cake. And things needed to change. I grew up in the church. My grandfather was a pastor. I spent Sunday nights and summers involved in youth activities. During a youth retreat in middle school, I made it official and asked Jesus into my heart. Sadly, my story reads like many who go off to college, I leave him behind. Looking back, I know the God-sized hole in my self-esteem was the open door Satan needed to suck me in to the black hole of validating myself with diets and scales. So there you go. And again, another great example of how children who think they believe are really riding their parents' coattails, and when they're thrust into the world system and the secular world gets upon them, they quickly wad up their faith and throw it in the trash. Or they have their first evolution class and they throw it in the trash or whatever. As soon as they get pressed, they cave. Carrying on, the Bible tells us that Jesus never leaves us or forsakes us. He has pursued the lost sheep. God pursued me. During marathon training, I started reconnecting to sacred stillness while running alone. Running and later weightlifting became the catalyst I needed to respect my body for what it could do when adequately fueled and when late night parties were avoided. But even though God was back in my life, he still wasn't first. My struggle for self-acceptance continued. As with many couples, conceiving our first child wasn't a cakewalk. So when we found out we were expecting, I determined to put the baby's needs before mine. And I got baptized on Christmas Day 2011, and I spent the rest of that pregnancy trying to fix my priorities. Without question, I am the kindest to myself and enjoy the healthiest relationship with food while pregnant. I've had the privilege of 2 healthy pregnancies. Both gestations were body and mind game changers. But the world isn't kind to postpartum moms. And it's easy to get trapped in the idea that your body must bounce back or risk losing validation. And I fell into that trap not once, but twice. I understood Christians were to do everything, including eating and drinking for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. But I was living a double life. I desired to worship Jesus wholeheartedly, but I also used my extra energy to chase the world's standard for wellness. For decades, I tried to serve both masters and failed. And finally, God opened my eyes to see that food wasn't my enemy, and that perfecting my body wasn't his ultimate purpose for my life. Instantly, my relationship with Christ blossomed. I began to connect the dots that neither Satan nor Christ cared about my weight, but both cared about because I cared about it. And like Paul, I had a thorn, a messenger from Satan. It was self-image for me. And for many of you listening, that is your thorn. And today I recognize that my struggles with food and self-acceptance has always been an invitation to Jesus, to lean on Jesus. When I am weak, he is strong, 2 Corinthians 12:10. Even when I'm not physically pregnant, I am a carrier of the Holy Spirit, and caring for my body is a form of worship and respect for the one who resides there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 through 20, which is our featured text today. In my life, daily prayer, paired with practicing self-compassion, has brought me inner peace and a feeling of actual well-being, which was missing when I was chronically dieting. As a nutritionist, I am still in awe of the healing power of eating well and exercising, but it must be rooted in gratitude for the one who created it all. Godly wellness is a form of worship, and when old mindsets of body comparisons or food anxieties arise, that's my signal to pray and praise more, not diet harder, end quote. So that's a pretty powerful statement that she makes there. And I get a lot of wisdom out of that. And I hope you do too. And check out some of her work. Maybe it'll be an inspiration for you. Dietrich Bonhoeffer noted, and I quote, "The essence of chastity is not the suppression of lust, but the total orientation of one's life toward a goal," end quote. So this insight reminds us to align our physical lives with God's purpose. And the last point I want to make today is God calls us to honor our bodies as temples. In Romans 12, verse 1 says, and I quote, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable," end quote. So there's a story of Joni Erickson Tada, who, despite being a quadriplegic, honors God with her life and encourages others to see the worth beyond their physical limitations. And you're going to check out a video here. If you're watching this video, it'll be cut from the completed video of this sermon, but you'll find the link in the show notes. So I encourage you to hit pause and go down and check on that link and watch this video, because it's a powerful testimony of somebody who has had everything going in a negative direction that life dealt her. And she took that and she uses it for God's glory. And it's amazing what happens when you can shift that. So check out her testimony. Hey, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that video. I hope that it made a difference in how, you know, somebody who's definitely probably got a lot harder than you for the most part, takes that and uses it for God's glory in a powerful way. And it's led her all around the world to talk to who knows how many people, sharing what God's done in her life, despite her present circumstances. St. Augustine quoted, and he also taught, and I quote, "Take care of your body as if you were going to live forever, and take care of your soul as if you're going to die tomorrow," end quote. That's powerful, friends. That's a real calling to take care of ourselves. And I gotta be the first to admit, this. If I had a thorn in my side, if I had a rock in my shoe, this has been it, the fitness piece of it, the body, the mind I've worked overtime on, the spirit I've worked overtime on, the body I've been all over the place. And my doctor for, I don't know how many years, Dr. Roberto Perez, dude, you gotta lose 40 pounds. And I'll lose 20, 30 pounds, but then I'll gain it back. And people ask me, what do you weigh? I said, about 190 with gusts to 220. You know, kind of like a low pressure system, go up and down, like a weather system with the temperature gauge on the weekly, you know, meteorologist report. That's my story, up and down. But it lacks any kind of consistency, any kind of rhythm, because my life is so full and so busy and I just compromise. And I'm committed this year, not from a diet, not from all these extremes, but living a spirit-centered, Jesus-centered approach to overcoming that. And that's really on my mind. It's not a resolution. It's a commitment to come all the way in, sit all the way down, and stay disciplined in this life. And when I have those obsessions to eat more than I need to eat more calories than I can burn, I'm just going to ask God to help make that objectionable to me and really treat it not as an enemy, but just try to live the way God wants me to live in all aspects of my life, especially body. And I hope you can get to that space too. We need each other to do it. Hold each other accountable and walk shoulder to shoulder with each other. We can pull that off. I have no doubt about it. Challenges with the body. There's a lot of struggles out there. Nutritionists, diet, nutrition, poor eating habits lead to chronic illness. A quote by Michael Pollan says, and I quote, eat food, not too much, mostly plants, end quote. And as Susie reminded me the other day, your plate needs to be about half greens, half vegetables, if not more. And I have several friends that are vegetarians or vegans, and you're going to see a video of one here in a second. Next is illness and disability. Chronic disease and physical limitations can feel like barriers, but God's works through that weakness. So all these things that are our weakness that we suffer from, God can use that, can work through that. The famous theologian Charles Spurgeon said, and I quote, our infirmities become the black velvet on which the diamond of God's love glitters all the more brightly, end quote. And then lastly is body shame and self-harm. This is a big one. Cultural standards often distort our self-image. We see this all the time. All the shows, all the documentaries, all the movies, all the dramatizations, the sitcoms, the comedies. This piece right here is always mixed in there somehow, some way. And we have to remember to lean on, especially Psalms. The book of Psalms is huge, but Psalm 139, 14 says, and I quote, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it, end quote. So really understanding that, not just philosophically, but believing it to the core, to concede to your innermost self that you are good, you were created good in the image of God, it's powerful. I want to share a story about someone we know had overcome a lot of barriers, especially with body shame, and through faith and realizing her worth as a child of God, she was able to overcome a big stigma. And it's a woman you may have seen on our social media pages. We call her Miss J. She's always dressed in purple. She's 93 years old. She's a beautiful soul. And at one point, she weighed 246 pounds, almost 300 at one time. But way overweight for her size. And today, she's probably under 100 pounds due to her age. But prior to that, you know, I mean, talking for many years, she got her weight down to 105, 110, a very healthy status. And her story is powerful. So I'm going to show you a little clip of our friend, Susie and I's really good friend, Miss J, we call her. Her name is Jessica Slaughter. She's here in St. Louis. But this is a little video of her when her show aired here on KSDK on Channel 5. And Steve Harvey, being an NBC affiliate, picked up that story, his team, and they invited Miss J to come to Los Angeles and be on the Steve Harvey show. This is when she was 86 years old, so this was 7 years ago. And we were living in Branson at the time. She called us and said, Harold, you got to watch the Steve Harvey show in June because I'm going to be on it. She was so excited. So here's that video. Check it out. Friends, if you're online, you'll have to hit pause, go to the link, and watch it because of copyright laws. But we want to honor those. So just hit pause, go down, check out the link, watch it, and come back, and we'll finish up our message today. So enjoy Miss J. We love her to death. So friends, welcome back. I hope you really enjoyed Miss J. She is a bright soul. If you ever want to go meet her, let me know. I'll be glad to take you to the quarters in the pair at Manchester and 270. That's where she lives, and she's an awesome soul, and we love her to death. What are our takeaways from today? Well, one is your body is sacred because God created it. dwells in it, and works through it. Those three points I think are critical. He calls you to honor it, not to chase perfection, but to live with purpose and gratitude for the life you have. Second, it's a hopeful invitation, right? Your appearance, abilities, or limitations do not define you. There's no blue ribbons hanging on my wall for anything, especially physically, the body. But God sees you as a beloved creation. It's really important to get that into your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. So surrender your struggles, whether it's shame, illness, or neglect, and embrace the freedom of seeing your body as God's temple. Amen? I think it's really important to do that. Our call to action? Well, friends, those who are alive, if we're alive here, I'd be inviting the band back up. But due to weather, you're probably watching this online, so we're not going to add the band back up. But I do encourage everyone that's listening right now to surrender their struggles and recommit to living a Jesus-centered life. If you don't know God, if you don't have a relationship with God, in the privacy of your heart, just pray for God to come into your life. Make himself known in your life. Come alive. Fill you with the Holy Spirit and give you the willingness and the honesty and the open-mindedness to be restored, which means you're going to need help. You're going to need fellow brothers and sisters to walk next to you to help you rediscover life. This isn't just raising your hand and saying a prayer, getting baptized, and you're good. No, you have to do the work to get the channel unclogged so the sunlight of the Spirit can shine in on your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, and you can heal. And you're invited to do that. Our email is there. If we can help you in any way do that, by all means, please let us know that. Just pray. If we can pray for you, email us. Hey, you can be praying for me. Here's what I got going on. We would love to do that. If you don't have our app, here's the way you can do it. Download our app and listen. You know, you can listen to messages, our daily devotions, but you can also put your prayer request there, and you can pray for others, and we can be praying for you. So utilize our app. We would love for you to do that. But I want to close with prayer. I want to thank you for being a part of our message today. In 2025, I thank all those we lifted up today with their life, Rebecca and Miss J and everybody, Todd, for their demonstrations, their testimonies, and their lives. So let's pray, if we could. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the incredible gift of our bodies, fearfully and wonderfully made in your image. Forgive us for the times that we neglected or shamed what you created. Help us to see our bodies as temples designed to glify you. Teach us to honor you, how we care for ourselves, rejecting the world's lies and embracing your truth. Heal those who feel broken or ashamed, and fill us with the Spirit so we may live fully for your glory. In your precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, friends, look forward to being back with you with part two of this as we continue. We'll be in this until May 4th, talking about the body. It's like, how can you do that for that long? You'd be amazed. The Bible has a lot to teach us about our bodies and how we're supposed to use them for the kingdom. So come on back. We're going to be in this, and then we'll shift over to the mind starting in mid-May. But I hope you have a blessed week. If you're in the Midwest and the heart of the Ozarks, I hope this weather today is not too tough on you and that you're safe. And that you just have a blessed 2025. God bless everybody. Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know more about us, we are Transformation Church. We are a church for people who aren't in the church. We are a Jesus-centered community made up of everyday people just like you. We refer to ourselves as Transformers, committed to helping God change the world. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at our House Springs campus. We are moving and launching a new campus soon in Eureka, Missouri, scheduled to launch on April 6, 2025, and we would love for you to join us and be a part of this Jesus revolution. We also meet during the week in smaller groups called house churches, and that's how we make it relational. We regularly hear from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram, Vimeo, YouTube, and TikTok. You can also download our app for free and for fun from your favorite app store. You can find the download link in the show notes or on our website at www.transformerforlife.org. That's www.transformer4life.org. Inside our app or on our website, you can access all our available audio and video teachings and view and download our bulletin, sermon notes, slides, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. Lastly, if you want to learn more about supporting Transformation Church with your time, talent, and finances, and what it takes to become a transformer, please visit our website. God loves generous people, and so do we. So a gift of any amount of your time, talent, and finances is much appreciated. Hey, thanks for being a member of our extended Jesus-centered community. I'm glad we are on this journey together, walking shoulder to shoulder, helping people experience a Jesus-centered life, and discovering the kingdom of God.